musical performances, gallery shows, poetry readings, and local shopping right into your inbox. Chronogram also leads the publishing group that features Rural Intelligence. Founded in 2008 by two former editors and reporters coming from the New York Times and New York Magazine, Rural Intelligence is the only online publication dedicated to covering the Berkshires, as well as Columbia and Dutchess County and northern counties in Connecticut. This is the way to go for planning a little excursion to the Berkshires, or if you're an armchair traveler and just want to indulge in real estate listings. Rural Intelligence actually just did a great roundup of what to do and where to go in Great Barrington, and I'm definitely using that list to plan my trip. For more hard-hitting reporting and deeper investigative analysis about important issues that affect our daily lives, whether it's regarding the environment, climate change, politics, education, healthcare, housing, and social justice, this is when I turn to the river. Launched just a few years ago, this independent news outlet also comes from the editorial team at Chronogram. I found the river's consistent and deep diving reporting on the COVID pandemic and how it was and still is affecting our region of upstate New York to be quite remarkable. Another favorite is Hudson Valley Magazine, which I've been reading for the past three decades. Originally founded in the early 1970s and currently based in Poughkeepsie, this monthly magazine is known for its lifestyle features, articles delving into the history of specific places and notable figures, and of course, lots of listings for restaurants, bars, breweries, and loads of recreation. Its editorial coverage spans everywhere from the capital region all the way to southern counties like Westchester and Putnam. I also like to read Edible Hudson Valley to learn even more about chefs, farms, farmers markets, bakers, ice cream makers, anything and everything around food. Then, for some truly inspiring nature photography, I look at Adirondack Life. It's been around since the late 1960s, and here's where you can really learn about Adirondack's history, its wildlife, and the unique culture of this particular and spectacular region. The magazine covers New York's 6 million acre Adirondack Park, which offers more wild country than Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Glacier National Parks combined. Over the years, such luminaries as the environmentalist Bill McKibben and novelists Russell Banks and Andrea Barrett have written for the magazine. And finally, I was recently given a pocket-sized Hudson Valley guidebook published late last year by Wildsim. For the past decade, Wildsim has put out these regional travel guides that are packed with loads of insider's info about where to go, where to eat, where to stay, where to shop. Its new Hudson Valley guide is a must-have whether you are new to the area or even if you think you've been everywhere already. A really sweet part of this little Hudson Valley book is an essay by the legendary food editor and writer Ruth Reichel. She stumbled into her career as a food writer and restaurant critic on the West Coast in the 1970s, eventually working at the Los Angeles Times for about a decade. She then came back to her native New York in the early 1990s, where she was the restaurant critic at the New York Times and later the editor-in-chief at Gourmet Magazine. I've read all of her books, from her many memoirs covering different parts of her life, all centered around food, to her cookbooks, of course. She now lives in the Hudson Valley. Here's just a few paragraphs from her essay, My Jane Austen Life, from the Wildsim book. Want to write me a letter? If you simply address it to Ruth, Spencertown, New York, I'll probably get it. When I walk into the quaint little post office in our town, the postmistress will hand it over saying, this came for you. Then Kate will rewrap the package I'm mailing, I never do it well enough to suit her, while filling me in on the latest news about the softball team. That's what I love about living here. Some mornings I wake up, stare at the mists rising off the mountains, and try to figure out how I wandered into this Jane Austen life. For a person raised in the studied anonymity of a Manhattan apartment building, my parents lived next door to the same couple for 40 years without ever knowing their names. It is comforting to be part of a community where privacy is impossible. We even have what amounts to a local squire. The artist Ellsworth Kelly lived in our little hamlet for a large part of his life, and though he's no longer with us, his husband Jack Shear continues to support every local cause. They built us a fire station, renovated town hall, and maintained conservancy trails. At Christmas, Jack even goes around town handing out champagne. And yes, we all watch his comings and goings with the kind of avid curiosity so often found in Austen books, and so rarely in American cities. I know a lot about neighbors I have never met, and they know a lot about me. A couple years ago, I stupidly lit a fire without opening the vent in the fireplace. 5 minutes later, I was doing my best to evict the billows of smoke that filled the house when the fire chief showed up. "I know your husband is away," said this man I'd never met before. "And when the alarm went off, I thought I'd better stop in and make sure you were all right." When we moved here 30 years ago, I had no idea it would be like this. But not a week had passed before a neighbor phoned to say he was certain we had old friends in common. "You don't know me," he began, "but the postmistress told me about you. Why don't you come over for dinner?" I love Ruth's story about living in Spencertown. It's on the other side of the river. Here at my tiny post office in Round Top, my postmistress Karen knows everyone on a first-name basis. And it's true, I go there for my daily dose of local gossip, but it's also a place where I can get a good idea about what's going on around town. Even though I scour and devour all the local newspapers and magazines, sometimes I find out about the best stuff on the post office bulletin board. Whether it's a fried chicken dinner fundraiser at the fire station, a pancake breakfast at a local church, or a book sale at the Cairo Library. The bulletin board at the Round Top post office is jam-packed with flyers and business cards, and it tells its own story. So if you're listening in Round Top, I'll probably run into you at the post office.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at roundtoprecommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Don't see a problem. I'll draw you a map, meet you in that can. I gotta follow my own path and welcome what finds me right where I am. And if you're gonna love me tomorrow, maybe you can love me today. The love song's poetry. Me away, but I like to look.
Welcome, Rayo listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Rayo on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported Rayo for open years. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish.
Things.
That's what we do. I'm going to talk about books I love and bookish things today, because I don't talk about books I hate that much, as we covered last week. Amelia called me out for not talking about my hatred of any book. Do you have any books that you hate, Georgia?
Let me think about that. That's a hard one. Pretty much, there's this one series that I don't hate it. I actually liked it for some time. It's horribly addictive. It's just like this, I forget the name of it. It's pretty much this graphic novel series. And it's about these girls who are dancers. And it's pretty much like these stereotypes of girls, and like they're obsessed with boys and girly things. And it's just, so yeah.
Not your favorite.
That's why I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like people seeing that. Or, yeah. So, who wants to go first?
I guess I can go.
Okay.
I thought this week I would focus on some comic series that are getting turned into either TV or movie series. I think they're all TV series or limited series. And one of them I found out after the show last week, I totally forgot you talked about El Defo, and that's becoming a series. I just happened to find out. It might
Where? Netflix, Amazon, where? HBO Max? Paramount? Paramount Plus? Disney Plus?
That one's Apple TV, I think.
Yeah! El Defo.
Really? Georgia talked about El Defo by C.C. Bell on last week's show and mentioned that it was your second favorite book of all time.
And my favorite.
And actually, do you know what? Season one is, there's three episodes out already. I'll have to check it out.
Are they all bunnies?
Yes.
Is it AMAID?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it says, going to school and making new friends can be tough. Having to do both while wearing a bulky hearing aid on your chest, that takes superpowers. With a little help from her superhero alter ego, El Defo, Cece learns to embrace her differences. So that might even be the same description as the book.
Yes,
it is. But it looks really cute.
What's the animation style? Same as the book?
It looks similar. And actually, so Cece Bell is the narrator for the series.
Oh, cool.
And I want to see if they're also on crew. They're not listed on the crew, but that doesn't mean they didn't do any of the art, because sometimes it doesn't show up. So I think it looks pretty similar.
Oh, it's the same.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely jumped out at me. I was like, oh, that's El Defo that Georgia was just talking about. So I definitely want to check that out, because I remember liking the comic quite a bit. And I know that Georgia loved it. Second best book of all time.
Yes, it is.
Actually, is your other book a favorite novel, and this is your favorite graphic novel? There you go. So it's the best graphic novel of all time.
Yes. And then the best book of all time is Tangled Up in Luck, which I already shared. Oh, God. It's a mystery. It's so good.
Oh. So the other two that I wanted to share, I don't have dates yet as to when they're going to be launched, but they're based on two comic series that I really loved that are for teens, but I think at least one of them is pretty appropriate for younger readers. The other one maybe is a little older, but I think it'd be okay. So one of them is Ms. Marvel, and it's going to be a Marvel series, a limited series on Disney Plus. And I don't know if it's based on a certain comic series or not, or if it's an original story about the character. But the comic series that I like of Ms. Marvel that I've read so far, I haven't read the newer ones, is the series that G. Willow Wilson wrote with Adrienne Alfona as an artist. And it's about a teen superhero. So Kamala Khan is just an ordinary girl from Jersey City. And then she gets, through this sort of freak incident, gets the gifts of Captain Marvel.
What incident?
There's an incident. I'm trying to remember. I think she like either is at a party and is wandering home, or is heading towards a party and goes into this, like, I forget what it's called, but it's like a smog that somehow going into this, she gets all these powers. And so this is the original comic is like her origin story. So it's about her starting to get used to her powers and figuring out what she can do with them, figuring out a costume to wear. And it also deals a little bit with her religion and her family life. She's Pakistani and is Muslim. So it's nice having a little diverse representation in superheroes as well.
Definitely.
And so I'm excited to see that one. And I've liked some of their other series. Like I just finished watching the Hawkeye series, which I thought was really good. And I liked WandaVision. So I have faith that Marvel can do a good limited series.
If you were a superhero, what would your costume be?
Oh, dear. I have no idea. I don't know what my superpower would be. That might inspire my costume.
I would be able to fly, and something that I can do in real life, which is heal people's feelings. I sort of already have that superpower. So
what would your costume be?
Actually, some of my friends nicknamed me the mental therapist. I think that I do get a little too involved sometimes.
Not a very good superhero name.
But some of my friends call me the mental therapist, Georgia. So my superpower would be to fly, and I pretty much just wear my everyday costume in real life, which is just jeans and a t-shirt. And then I'd have blue wings.
So you wouldn't be disguised in any way?
Nope. Hmm. Me!
So I forgot that I used to say that if I had a superpower, it would be to send out calming, warm feelings. So like if there was chaos happening, like everybody was fighting, that I could just send out a wave of calm, and then all that's how I would save the day. I would just stop the fighting by everybody chilling out. So maybe my costume would be a big blanket, like a cozy blanket or a snuggie. I've never worn a snuggie.
What is a snuggie?
It's kind of like a blanket robe, I think. I don't know. Never seen one in real life. Just weird ads. But anyway, so that's a series I'm excited about. Another one is that, and I think it's for Amazon Prime or Prime Video, Paper Girls is being made into a series. And that comic was by Brian K. Vaughan. And then Cliff Chang was the illustrator. Matthew Wilson was the colorist. And Jared Fletcher did the lettering. And that's a limited comic series. And it's actually not specifically a youth comic. I think it was marketed as an adult comic, but it definitely has a lot of crossover appeal for teens. And I think we actually have it in the teen section here.
Do you think that it'd be appropriate for like 11-year-olds?
I'm not sure if Paper Girls would be. I'd have to read it again because I think there might be some language that's less appropriate.
I've read stuff with language. But yeah.
And one of the characters at least smokes because she's smoking on the cover. But I don't remember if there's like any other kind of inappropriate contact for young readers. But
what's it about?
It's about a crew of paper girls, young women that ride around on their bikes delivering the papers in the morning. And there's like a group of them that are sort of friends and do this all the time. And then there's one person that's new to the job. And they're delivering papers on Halloween. And then all of a sudden, weird stuff starts to happen, and they get sort of on this adventure that involves like time travelers and time travel. And I don't know, it's just fun reading a story about the adventures of these young women that are, you know, really brave and like going through these odd experiences.
Wow, that sounds really fun or cool.
And I like the artwork a lot for that one too. So yeah, I'm excited about both of those. I'm sure there's others too, but those were the ones that seemed the most like youth oriented.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What would your opposite superhero be?
Like my nemesis?
Yeah.
Or like if I was a villain? Or do you mean if like who would be
your
my nemesis?
Had, like an arch enemy, who would it be?
Maybe someone that inspired anger in others.
What would your costume be?
Just flames. They'd have flaming eyes and flaming hair and flaming body.
Or a
whirlwind.
My enemy
messing up everything
would cause anger, distress, hatred, and death and war.
Well, maybe we have the same arch nemesis.
Yes,
we can team up.
and their costume would be just being naked.
No flames.
No flames. They're just naked. They're just naked.
Oh, not much of a costume.
Yeah, but
less of a costume than your costume.
So, you know, we're doing opposites here. So that's okay. My opposite.
So they're naked and you're wearing jeans and a shirt.
Yes.
These are some elaborate costumes.
Yeah, super elaborate. The most elaborate in the world.
Yeah. At least I put a blanket on.
What would you wear under your blanket?
More blanket. Just all blanket. I'm going to make a multi-layered blanket outfit.
Maybe you'd have like a belt and lots of wispy so that blanket. It stays up. Maybe you should have like tie it in some places so that it stays up like around the hip.
Yeah, I'll have to learn how to sew. I once knew how to sew. I would just have to relearn.
It's I know how to sew. I actually sort of taught myself how to sew. I know how to.
Yeah.
Am I super good at it? Well, I don't know about that. But can I do it? Yes.
Do you hand sew or machine sew or both?
I got a machine, but I hand sew.
We're starting up a crafting entrepreneurship program at the library. So we have all these new sewing machines. So I feel like at some point I should learn.
I know. Like my main thing has crafting and earning money, like crafting for money. As soon as I heard about it, I was like, I wish I could do that. But it'd be too much to ask of my family to take me. And also I'd have to miss Bound by Books.
No.
I don't want to do that.
Well, you got to set your priorities, you know. Well, maybe Miss Tracy can learn some things and pass along knowledge so that we can make some stuff. Anyways, do you have a book you wanted to talk about or a bookish thing?
I completely forgot that I hadn't shared yet. Oh my gosh. So this is a graphic novel that I read last week. It's called Stealing Home. It's by Jay Torres and David Namisato. This is a really good graphic novel. It's drawn in like brown and white, which I really like that because it gives the effect of a photo from like the 40s. It gives that sort of sepia effect. It's really good. It's about a Japanese boy and he has to go into a camp during the Civil War. Not the Civil War. Oh my gosh. No. He lives in Vancouver and he has to go into a camp during World War II. I can't believe I said Civil War. I'm such a mess right now. I'm so tired from school. So yeah, he has to go into a camp, an internment camp, and he's obsessed with the baseball at a team called the Azahai. I forget how to pronounce it. And the team is really good. And then I'm going to stop there because I don't want to spoil it. So I'll read the description. When a boy struggles after moving to a Japanese internment camp during World War II, baseball shows him another way to approach life. Did I mention that this is called Stealing Home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on here it says the age range is 9 to 12, but I personally say that the age range is like 8 to 12. Actually, 9 to 12 sounds appropriate. 8 or 9 to 12. It's a very good book.
Does it say where the internment camp is that he goes to? I realize that everything I've learned about the internment camps are based on Americans, like from the U.S. going to internment camps. I've never heard about Canadian experience. So I'm curious if they went to internment camps in Canada or in the U.S.
Let's see. It does not say. I think that they went to one in Canada. Well, they did take a train, so it might be in the U.S. I don't know. I don't think it says. It's
a really
good book. You should read it. I just have it on ebook. Well, Epic, which is a form of ebook.
Yeah, you seem to read a lot of books on there.
I do. Though most of them are shorter books. So I tend to read most of my longer books when I actually, you know, get them.
Does the formatting look good on Epic for the graphic novels? I think.
Oh, very. And you know what's so cool? It's so realistic that when you turn the page, instead of it just flipping to the next slide, it gives the illusion of flipping a page.
Ah, cool.
It's really cool. I actually do read a lot of my books on Libby, but I just got the app on my new iPad because I've had a new iPad for about a year, and I had Libby on my old iPad, which I had up until a year ago. So, and I don't have my library card with me right now because it's in my mini ATM machine, which is packed up. So I'm gonna try to find my library card.
We can always get you a new one.
No, I don't want a new one.
Wait, you don't want a new number?
I could have a new number, but still, that'd be just too much. I think I'm good with the one I have.
Okay.
Unless it got lost in the move. Hopefully it didn't. Because I'd be really devastated right now. Yeah.
So what's up next for you? Do you have a set next read?
Once I get my card pin on Libby, I'm going to hit Libby like a storm and borrow every graphic novel on there that exists. I'll get on the waiting list for any of the graphic novels that aren't available in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what's... I'm reading some books right now. One of them you won't believe. Because I've been reading it for months.
What?
That book, now I'm blanking on the name. Is it Malu? That I talked about on the show a long time ago.
What?
And then I had to take a break from it over the holidays because I didn't want to travel with a graphic novel. Or Manu, sorry. Not Malu, Manu.
Why do you not want to travel with the graphic novel? You could have read it on the plane.
Because it would be, I would finish it really quickly and then have to carry it around the whole trip. So I prefer to travel with audiobooks and
novels
or ebooks and or a novel. Yeah. And then I'm reading another graphic novel that's written for adults called CQ, A Journey Through American Loneliness. That's very good. And then I started reading The Monk of Mocha by Dave Eggers, which is a nonfiction book for adults that is a book club pick for the library's nonfiction book club this month.
Cool.
And so far that's very good as well. But I don't know what my next read will be that I haven't talked about on the show yet that will be a youthful book. I have to pick out what my next one is. So I also have a lot of picture books that I've borrowed because, you know, all of the end of year best of lists come out. And so I try to read whatever I haven't read already, which I often have read a lot of them, but not all of them. There's still some left to read. What's up next for you? Did you say?
I'm gonna take Libby by storm.
Oh yes.
Once I get sucked in, I'm gonna borrow every graphic novel on there.
Every single one.
Not kidding. How often do you add new books to it?
To Libby?
Hmm.
Well, I'm not the only one that adds books to it because there's 66 libraries in the system, and so.
In the system of what?
Mid-Hudson Library System.
Oh.
So we have a shared e-resources catalog for Libby.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why it's the Mid-Hudson Library System. I looked up Hudson Area Library. It's like, why isn't coming up? That's why.
Oh. Yeah, so we're part of the Mid-Hudson Library System. Mid-Hudson. As libraries in Columbia, Greene, Ulster, Dutchess, and Putnam counties. And here's we can... Putnam is south of Dutchess. Yeah, so we can get stuff brought in from libraries throughout the system. So if there's ever something somebody wants that isn't at our library, either because it's checked out or because we don't own it, we can usually get it brought in. And even if somebody in our system doesn't have it, we can usually get it from another library outside of our system. You can get almost anything that you want book-wise. The library
that you want.
There's some that you can't because they're too rare. Like if it's a really rare item, the library might not lend it. But we've had things flown in from other states and Yeah, not very often. Usually we can get it through the system or from a nearby college.
But that's the magic of the library system.
Magic.
But yeah, I actually really want to read the book that you mentioned, Stealing Home. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's